The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Episode 400. And we want to thank all of our pals that have joined us, or should I say, put up with us for 400 episodes. And, that makes me think, guys, I want to ask. If you have listened to almost every one of our 400, if you've been with us since the beginning, hit us up on social media and let us know. And tell us one of yours or several of your favorite episodes and what makes Shift and Steer so special. So let's just get started with welcome to the party, pals. And and hey, I'm going to crack one open right now. I'm going to... Oh, wait, that's Man Seeks Adventure, isn't it? here we've got a rock star. But guys, thank you guys both, because when I had this crazy idea to quit doing terrestrial radio with Pete Shaporis, and just throw our syndicated show to the side and bring you guys into the fold and do this great Shift and Steer, I never thought in a million years that we'd be 400 episodes in, and our first show was 9 years ago.
9 years ago.
Wow.
I mean, that's a long time. I had this gray in my beard. We were all younger men, but we're all much wiser now. So,
Speaking of beards, by the way, Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron's beard's on point. He's been on that road trip, and I guess the trimmers didn't exactly make it on that trip. You gotta budget out your equipment.
Actually, the trimmers made it out. I just haven't used them. I think I had my first shower at an RV park last night in a while.
Oh, yeah. That's more than we wanted to know.
My wife and I still like each other. It's amazing.
It's awesome. We've been following all your travels and just loved seeing what you're doing. And you even made it to the North Pole to see Santa.
Yeah. Yeah. We made it to the North Pole. I got my list in.
Yeah. Good.
And the first one was a shower. So yeah. he already grants me
it's
that.
It's already paying off ahead of Christmas. Hey, I shared with Matt Aaron that it only took me 400 episodes, but I got myself a mic.
Hey.
I'm not just going, rogue and going off the computer anymore. Ever since the Zoom, I've been just doing it off the computer. And when I was doing this, I listened and I said, oh my gosh, why didn't those guys slap me upside the head? Because I sound tinny from the little mic in the computer. So hopefully.
Sound fine. Sound fine.
So today's show, we're going to run through almost 400 episodes. We're going to show you some highlights, talk about them, some of our favorite things, and also I've got some fun facts that I made up for us, and we're going to talk about cars we've driven. Matt, I think you should just every once in a while throw in like run down five cars that have been driven and talked about on the show. And just go, Supra, do this, that. I think it'd be awesome. But let's start out because Matt went in for us because I've been dealing with some personal stuff with my mom She passed away, and I was dealing with that. So Matt was kind enough to go in, help us with the 399.25 and episode 399.50, and take some of our past episodes to fill in there. And thanks, Matt. But
it was kind of fun to go back and grab some of that, because I grabbed like episode 3 from the SEMA show. So it was all the first handful of episodes, like 4 episodes, were all live from SEMA. So we were in the Mother's Polishes booth, the trailer out front, and I just kind of forgot how it all kind of went down. And I know this is on some of your notes there, but Billy Gibbons was there because of the Whiskey Runner car that Pete Chaporis had built with Jimmy Shine at the time. Billy Gibbons was on there. And then at some point, the way I think it went down was we were there doing some shows, and Aaron, you just texted Guy Fieri and you were like, yeah, we're here doing these shows and Billy Gibbons is here. And he was like, I've been texting with Billy for years and still have not actually shaken his hand in person. And Guy was like, I'll be right over.
Yeah.
And given his schedule,
ran over.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But given his schedule and stuff, that's a pretty nutty thing, like a hell of a commitment. And it was kind of a fun chat there. And then we spoke to a few of the other guys, Aaron, you're still working with for a long time, Roger Demery from Kicker. He jumped in on the show as well. And then we had a great chat with Billy and Guy. And then the other episode that I pulled, which was last week, the one with Guy and Billy was 2 weeks ago, was I just went back and grabbed the one-on-one interview. It was kind of one-on-one. It was Brad was out, I believe, that day.
Yeah, I was out that week.
And Aaron, you and I think you were calling in at the time. We just did like we just turned it into an interview, Pete Chaporis. And I love that interview, right? Because Pete's really kind of the reason that we put this show together, that Brad sort of quarterbacked this thing. And because Pete had so many stories, and you'll notice on so many of those initial episodes, we're more like just sponges, kind of like a bunch of his information. But back from his start, and Pete and Jake and SEMA show and his story. So if you missed that last week, I know it's a rerun episode, but those of you guys that know Pete, that loves Pete,
if you're a car guy, Pete goes back to old school 74 when he started Pete and Jake's just kept going, man. And such a great guy. You know, he is, and I think you guys will loudly agree that Pete was one of the most genuine, nice guys you're ever going to meet. I mean, he just didn't have a bullshit bone in his body, and he was a neat guy.
But he really was. I really miss Pete. I think of him all the time, and I didn't know him before the show. If you remember, Brad, you introduced us for the first time at Hot August Nights in Reno, and man, we just had a serious like father son moment and total man crushed until he passed, I think.
Yeah.
And you say he was the nicest guy in the world. That's what I know him as, but I guess he used to be a real badass and a real tough guy and not always a real nice guy. He used to tell us, at least. He packed a hell of a punch.
Well, he was a man's man. And
exactly. Old many school.
Times, I was a Marine, you know, but that was what made him, you know, really special. And
definitely.
We miss him and miss his voice here on the show. We got to live years with Pete, and that was
with Pete. And I will just add this, like we did the Syracuse trip, and we all went out there, and then in the hotel bar, I think we just grabbed a dinner. We just grabbed like a salad or something for dinner. And Pete was just coming off of a round of some medications and stuff. So he was there and he was like, I haven't had a cocktail in, you know, you know, 12 months or something, whatever it was. And he was like, I'm going to allow myself to have one cocktail. And you guys had already left and gone to bed. And Pete and I sat there for 2, maybe 3 hours. And I don't think I said one word. It was just Pete for 2 hours. Like, it's stories you can't even say on the air. They're just not my stories to tell, right? They're Pete's stories. But Pete and back in the day and him and Billy Gibbons and starting the, you know, and he's like, we're driving down Sunset Boulevard. He goes, it wasn't even a paved road yet. Like, we had hot rods out there and Sunset wasn't even paved. And just getting that time with him and hearing those stories. Like, we did a lot of his stories on the air, but kind of getting a peek behind the curtain, sort of the Wizard of Oz moment there with Pete was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I remember you telling us somewhat about it then. Not all the stories, but I remember you sharing some stuff with us back then.
What can you do? You're just like, these are amazing. And I grew up watching, you know, by time I was getting involved with cars, even just as a kid, like, I was already seeing Pete on TV. I was hearing about SoCal Speed Shop, on TV programs like Rides and stuff, like old school, like Bud Brutzman shows and bits with Billy Gibbons. Like, somebody's talking to him about music or whatever, and then he's referencing cars or has a car in the background or whatever, and he was like, yeah, this is, you know, SoCal built this, Pete built this. And I'm like, yeah, but look at that car, look at that thing, that thing's trick as hell. So, and it wasn't until we started doing this show and started doing CarCast that these guys came in and brought cars on the show. Brad, I think that's how you and I met. Was
we brought cars and Michael came to the show with Adam, and
Michael Anthony came by, and then Pete came by with Jimmy Shine, and I thought you were there for that day, or at least you helped.
I was there, and then I came back again with Larry Dixon.
Yeah,
brought Larry Dixon, but I mean, you know, the thing is that Pete was doing this shit before we had driver's license. I mean, you think of a California kid. It was already in movies before we could even drive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and that was what was so special about this, and was that we got to spend this quality time with Pete that other people never got to. But it was also, we found out later, his special time, because he told us that, guys, Fridays are my special time. I get to come spend with you guys, and I feel like I'm a young guy again, man, hanging with you guys. And it was like a two-way street. And that was what it was all about. That, and that's why that energy always worked, you know? And we had so much fun, but we got to get into this, guys. We got to talk about this. I'm going to start out with one of my made-up facts here. And the most used word in all 400 episodes, and it was used 6,293 times. Aaron, can you possibly guess what that might be?
Pal.
I have the second and third also.
Pal.
No, not pal.
No, Matt, not pal.
Any idea?
I have no idea.
It's box body.
And yeah, well, that's a good one.
Matt said it 5,200 times. The rest were us saying.
That was just on last episode.
Yeah, the second most used word was Mustang, and the third most used word is Ford. So these are some of my made-up facts, okay, that I have. Yeah. I'll bring these up as we go through. I will tell you one other interesting one. The farthest anyone has ever driven for free parts. You guys know this? It is a gentleman who drove to the Arctic Circle. His name is Aaron.
I got a sticker.
He drove all the way there to get a shower because it was
I got a lot of stickers. Yeah,
because they still don't have hot water back at his place. The gas line's still not hooked up.
So let's jump back in the very beginning. we all get together, we talk. I tell you, and I'll tell you how it went on my end was, I told Pete, and I have told this story before, but for those who haven't heard it, I told Pete, Pete, our show's syndicated. We're in 50 top markets. I want to do a podcast. What do you think about we quit doing it? And he goes, what's a podcast? I explained to him what a podcast was. And I said, I really think it's the way to go because right now our show airs at 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings. If people are at soccer practice or working on their car at the drag races, whatever, they don't hear them and they don't re-air. And I said, this they can hear anytime they want. Pete said, all right, boss, whatever we should do, I'm for it. And then about 2 weeks later, after I'd talked to you, Matt, and then I saw you, Aaron, at Michael's daughter's wedding and talked to you there. And we decided we're all team up. And I called Pete and I said, hey, Pete, you know that podcast we're going to do? He goes, yeah. I said, we're going to add a couple guys to it. And he goes, do I know them? And I said, no, you don't know them. I said, but they're going to be great. I said, one of them is, his name's Matt. And I said, he's into new cars. He's into Mustangs. And I said, the other one's Aaron Hagar. His dad's Sammy Hagar. And I said, he's into rat rods. And I said, I'll be honest with you, he doesn't know a whole lot. So he's going to ask those questions that you and I take for granted. And he goes, that sounds great. And I swear to God, you guys, the minute we turned on the mics, when I listened to show one, I hadn't listened to it in years. And I went back and I went, this clicked right away. It didn't sound, Matt, you listened to it.
Yeah.
It didn't sound fake or phony or like we were really reaching. It just worked right from the beginning. And it's because everybody had their own personality. We weren't all Mustang guys. We weren't all hot rod guys. We weren't all whatever. And that's why it worked. And on that very first show in 2014, when we clicked on the mics, we had no idea what we were going to see ahead of us. We had no idea if anybody'd show up. And all of a sudden we had a crowd. And in that very first show, we did the intros. And I said to Matt, I said, Matt, give yourself a little introduction. And he said, well, I'm kind of new to the automotive space. And I went, I didn't remember you ever saying that. And I was like, you said, you know, the aftermarket and everything. And I was like, wow, that was surprising. Aaron.
Well, certainly by comparison.
Yes, you know, I know.
Yeah. What you've been doing, Brad, and what Pete was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy Shine standing behind me. I'm like, yeah I'm relatively new.
And then Aaron, I got to hand it to you, man. You were right into the promoting. I'm here with Kicker this week. I got my car on display and blah, blah, blah. You know,
it was rat rod guy promoting. I had your role. I had your role early on. When I got there, Brad's like, okay, you take my role and I'm going to.
No, it was awesome. And of course, as Matt had described, said he was there with Billy and the Whiskey Runner. And then he had another customer's car there. Mentioned SoCal Speed Shop and that he had been around since 74 in the business. And of course me, you know, talked about my Boyd days, Bond Speed Wheels and putting this whole thing together. And then we clicked in, but you know what I forgot about that we have to bring back, and we should even do it on the show here, is our chat and scats. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Those were, I forgot all about those. And for those of you who don't know, they were notoriously short interviews. And because we were trying to fit so many people in, we'd bring them on, ask them a few questions, go, okay, scat. This was a chat and scat. And those were fun. Those were fun things. And, it's been a great ride. And Matt, do you ever think about all the cars that we've driven? Give us like five of them off the top of your head.
I mean, I'm trying to think of some of the earlier cars that I drove. I drove a Roush Raptor, supercharged Gen 1 Ford Raptor.
There you go.
And that one was super fun. And I remember driving the Boss 302 when Ford brought that back, their Boss 302. That was a pretty fun car. And then got into like a Lexus ISF.
The little sports car, yeah.
Yeah, which I was able to take to Willow Springs. And then they had one up at Laguna Seca. And my very first lap around Laguna Seca, I missed the corkscrew and darted, like lawn darted over the in a Lexus. And I just kind of flew to the dirt and got black flagged on an exhibition lap. And I was like, oh, now, nice. Now I know what's going on. So
you've come such a long way.
Yeah, now it's such a, I mean, now I do that on purpose, I guess. But
yeah, and now it's a social media moment.
I mean, just even where we've gone from, like, one of the first cars was giant off-road supercharged loud Roush Raptor with 600 horsepower to just drove a Genesis GV60 tiny all electric, like just where we are in cars, how that's changed.
After 9 years. Yeah.
Hey, do you guys remember episode 7? I call it the show that got away, because we were at Barrett Jackson. We were again at the mother's truck, and we had Tim Allen, Michael Anthony, Ring Brothers, Gene Winfield, Tyson Sullivan, and others. And we were so excited, man. We got all these great guests. We were at Barrett Jackson Live, and we got back, and the audio was crap. We posted it, but it is so bad. And
we had a lot of audio problems early on.
we did have some audio problems. We were trying to record shows on the road. We could barely record them in a studio.
I know. I mean, we were learning on the run. What do you mean? You know, and it was it was a great show, but just couldn't pull that one off. Aaron, I want to bring up something with you. Early on, I don't know if you remember, you and I had a little talk. I don't even know how many shows in we were, but you were kind of intimidated because you got thrown into this, and you were a little bit big eyed, and sure. I pulled you aside at one time and I said, Aaron, I need more comments, do some more comments. And you're like, I don't know what to say, dude. And we had a talk. And then from then on, you came out of your shell and you were Aaron.
You've been laughing ever since.
Yeah.
You've been
laughing. But what did it feel like for you?
Well, you know, the thing is like you said, I kind of came into this kind of new to the field. I've always played with cars. I grew up driving classic cars, and I was only a side of the road mechanic. But, you know, it, with your experience and Matt's experience and Pete's experience, I think I just wanted I forgot that I was part of the show, and I was so engaged in listening that I wasn't engaged in speaking, and I didn't have all the stories, and I didn't feel that they were relatable, and it took a while to build that confidence. And I appreciate that talk because that, I mean, obviously it helps, it gave me permission. And I think where I was in my life, I had been so belittled going through my divorce, and Dad and I were having a really hard relationship. And I felt like I was just in service to everybody else and didn't have my own voice. So I have to thank you and Shift and Steer and our listeners for allowing me to have a voice in all this. I think that really, really, it kind of changed my life. I think it just, but our relationship, all of us, you know, you guys introduced me to everybody, and, you know, it's awesome.
Like brothers, man. But I really appreciated, because you took it to heart, and it was those questions that we needed, because they were the questions that some of our listeners were wanting to ask, but they don't have the voice on the show. And it made such a difference. It was awesome. You guys want another fast fact or a made up fact?
Absolutely.
All right. The most mentioned animals on Shift and Steer.
Bears.
Dogs and bears. Dogs and bears. Yes. So.
Penscowers.
That's not an animal.
No, yes, penscowers are technically cows.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I learned.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, hey. like Diablo. It's the bull.
Episode 16, Ralph Shaheen started calling in once in a while with his...
Oh, that's right.
With his race reports. But episode 19, we all went to the Long Beach Grand Prix hooked up with people back behind the pit wall that were in the celebrity race. Do you guys remember who was with us?
Well, I'm going to guess Rutledge was there.
Yeah, yep. Rutledge was there.
I want to say Rutledge was there. Brett Davern was there. If you guys remember Brett.
What probably was Brett on so that our listeners can remember him?
Brett was on, oh man, I forgot. It was an MTV show. And
no, I was hoping you pulled that one out because I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it was like a high school MTV show. And it was funny because he wasn't old, but he was older than high school. And I'd always tease him about it. And you know, now he's a dad with a couple of kids. But what was I forgot the name of the show now. It'll come to me.
It'll come to you like towards the end or 5 episodes.
And then Trisha Helfner, she's fantastic. She was on Battlestar Galactica. She was out there. And then later she and I did like a stock car race out in Irwindale, like a charity fundraiser.
Remember
and,
that.
And,
yeah. With the other guy, what's his name? He was
Eric Valdez, Lorenzo Lamas.
Yeah, but there was a guy that was pretty good racer. I'm trying to think.
Oh, Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Yes,
yeah. Mark Paul's a friend.
He was on the show later on. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's, and he was fast. He won. So Brett was on a show called Awkward. MTV show.
Like we were trying to remember the show.
Yeah.
I never would have known that.
And by the way, he did an episode of Shameless. He's been on a bunch of shows. You know, he's very much a working actor and a good driver.
Yeah.
He's a good driver. Yeah, so that was a fun event.
Episode 20, we were invited to Sonoma for the Ferrari Challenge.
Oh, where
we had a great weekend up there, man. Remember, we met people, we got to go on hot laps, but we just had such a great time meeting the people. I mean, there's some people that I still keep in contact with from that weekend, you know?
It's
really, really a good time up there. Episode 24, it was a big one. Look at that. Matt is holding up a photo of all of us from show number one with Billy Gibbons and Guy Fieri.
What is Guy wearing on his head?
I don't know. It was in homage to Billy.
Yeah. So episode 24, we did a CarCast crossover where we all went in the studio. We were all on CarCast talking about shift and steer. And but then that day didn't end because we also visited Jay Leno's garage that day and took a tour over there. And we've been there a few times, and that's, you can go there every time and you always see something new. It's always a pleasure.
I'm going to repost this on my social media, but in 2014, we took my favorite photo of all time. And I think Freiberger has even pointed out, David Freiberger has pointed out that he loves this photo more than anything. This is the candid photo with Billy in the background and Shapora sneaking over his shoulder and Aaron Brad's head's popping up in the back. Like I loved this photo. I always thought this was the best kind of funniest photo. And I just me taking like the first selfie I've ever taken in my life. And of course, Billy's on his phone sending, I don't know, a text or something. So I'm going to have to repost that photo. So you guys will.
We're going to have to do a photo gallery because there's
yeah, definitely
so much. It'll be this giant photo gallery, but we're going to do that. Episode 27, our first trip to the Syracuse Nationals. We did that for about 3 years in a row. I miss doing live events. You know, the whole COVID shutdown stuff ended so many events, we got kind of out of that. So if anybody wants us live, we're available.
Syracuse was great. First of all, I cried mostly because you stuck me in the vintage nitro funny car and I had no idea that you can't breathe when you sit in that thing, and I'm like, why am I crying? It's so bad.
I handed him a towel and he goes, what do I need this for? And I go, to put over your face, dude. You know?
And they had a competition there, a show, like a grade eight, like competition car show. And I remember in between interviews, we had like 20 minute break and Pete's like, let's walk over there and judge these cars. Let's you and I judge these cars. God. And I learned more shit in that 20 minutes about judging cars than I ever thought. Just the details and finish work and stuff that Pete can see from 40 feet away.
He well, was remember just like, he saw that the top of the window edge the hadn't glass. Been finished.
Yeah, like, he's like
polished. You
yeah,
know?
He's like they didn't finish it. That should be polished up. That should be, you know, yeah, just like the smallest things.
A lot of really people are not aware that the Grand National Roadster Show, Pete is the one who wrote the rules for the judging.
Oh, really?
Him and Bobby Alloway.
I was going to ask.
Well, that makes sense. Those
Alloway.
Two guys.
They took it from car show judging to what they called hot rod judging, where, you know, it's not about how's it sit on its display and does it have engraved valve stems. No, it's about how the fit, the finish, the drive, the sit, how it, you know, plants itself, everything. And that was amazing. The other thing about Syracuse was it was such, I mean, we were in a whirlwind. We'd get there, we'd do shows, we'd go over, we'd walk the show, we'd film, you know, Aaron would always be filming stuff. But then we would host the banquet, and we had a blast doing that. I mean, that was so much fun. They were always so good to us. And
such a huge thanks to everybody that like came out and watched us do podcasts and came out to the
bought us lemonade.
Like even that's then right. we don't know what we're doing now, but back then we didn't know what we were doing. So
yeah, that's right. So people were bringing us lemonades. That was awesome.
it was great. People were so good to us back there. And everybody is, whenever we see people, it always blows me away when we're at the Grand Prix or up at Monterey or something. And somebody walks by and goes, "Are you Brad Fanshaw?" And I go, "What?" And they go, I heard you say something in your voice. And I go, "What?" That my mind just goes, boom, you know?
It's like, if I owe you money, go talk to Charlotte.
I go, "No, I'm not." Oh, you're just trying to see. Okay. Yeah, interview 37, or episode 37, we interviewed Matt. Episode 41, as you said earlier, we interviewed Pete. Episode 44, we interviewed Brad. But Aaron, when did we interview you? Because I didn't find it when we went through, and I know
I think it was about 10 episodes ago.
No, what we've done was, I think more than once, I think twice, spread out with like a year or two in between. Aaron came in on the CarCast, and I don't know if we reran that as a Shift and Steer episode at one point, but we got into it. We did an All About Aaron Day, and that was not planned. I was just like, "Hey, we're talking about you today."
I think I'm like, awkward, but I got this.
Aaron, we might have did one in studio years ago, and then probably in the last year we did it over Zoom.
Those were fun
episodes. I love those episodes, by the way.
Yeah, they're fun.
Just to get to know everybody a little bit more and dive deep. It's fun. And it's usually one-on-one, you know. But Brad, you said something funny about being recognized. So imagine being in the Arctic right now and getting recognized.
By a bear. He's like, my bear friends in Tahoe. Like,
"Hey, cousin." My cousin called me and said you were going to be up there.
Yeah.
Someone, same scenario, Brad. Someone heard me laugh and walked around the corner and went, "Oh my God." I mean, we have people, literally a lady texted me at 11 o'clock at night and said, "Are you at the same camp?" She goes, "My husband swears he just walked by your Jeep." And I'm like, "No way." I've met probably, I'd say at least a dozen or more people out in the middle of nowhere, even on the ship. A lady,
you're literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
literally in the middle of nowhere. A lady comes up to me on the ship. She goes, "Oh my God, we recognized you when you got on the boat." She goes, "We both follow you on Instagram just from Alaska. We didn't even know who you were." It's like, I'm going, this is so cool. It's like, I never get recognized from social media.
We're like,
media.
Sit down, let's talk. We're trapped on a boat for 4 days. We might as well get to know each other.
Exactly.
Well, so that brings
it's
up.
Very interesting. It's very interesting.
That brings up another made up fact. Which is most repeated sound on Shift and Steer. There it is.
There it is right there.
Giggle.
Oh man,
the first 50 episodes we couldn't even do the intro music without Aaron already laughing in the beginning.
We'd be going, Aaron, we gotta start. Oh yeah. Okay.
it's a good life.
It's the best. It's one of the best qualities of the show, I think.
Episode 56 started a tradition that lasted for years, which was every year doing a live show at the SoCal Open House.
Oh, and yeah.
What was interesting about that? Do you guys know what was interesting about the SoCal Open House shows?
It was always very hot.
It was always very hot. We had lots of people that listened come up, but we had great interviews. But if you ever thought about it, we always missed part of the game. Pete was running his show and his open house. So we were doing the show, and he'd come up afterwards and go, so who was on? How'd it go? And but that lasted for years. I loved those open houses and doing those at SoCal. Episode 61 was one of the most expensive episodes ever.
Yes.
Yes. And do you want to tell them why?
Yes. That is the day that Adam Carolla bought Paul Newman's Porsche 935, and the mission, as I chose to accept it, was to go in there and bid on it. And I grabbed Brad on the way in. I was like, I gotta go spend some money, and it's not mine. Why don't you come with me? So, and the short story is we had just done the documentary, and that was the Holy Grail Paul Newman car, and Adam really wanted it. And we were talking about it and registered to bid, and like 5:30 in the morning in Monterey around the Fisherman's Wharf area in the Portola Hotel, we were walking around in the fog. You could barely see in front of you going, what's the strategy? And Adam being Adam and trusting, he's like, here's kind of the cap we can kind of go to, but you know, try to go here, try to go there. And he goes, but at some point he goes, you're just going to have to make a call and do it on your own. He's like, if it's going fast, maybe get out. If it's going slow, get a bid in. He's like, cause we just don't want to lose it for a little bit, but also we kind of have a cap. And I was like, we'll go home and we'll figure it out. If we get it, we'll go home and we'll figure it out. So I remember texting Brad, like, come by Gooding. Let's go. Let's, you know, come watch us buy this car. Come with me. Adam was on one side of the room because he was kind of nervous, and we were on the other side of the room with Hans Wuerl from Gooding, and it went so fast. And people behind us on the phones were like, 4 million. I'm like, 4 million. We didn't even get a bid in yet. Like we opened it like 4 million and it went fast. And then we got the car, and Adam was super happy, and they brought us a bottle of champagne. And then on the ride home, Adam and I were just like, here's the strategy. I know you love your Lamborghini Miras, but you got three of them now. And now we've got to start selling these cars because you just spent, you know, $4.84 million on a Porsche. And it was the right move. It was totally the right move.
Oh, yeah. That car is just...
Miras have done well, but not like what this car is. And it was such an important piece. And this car, Adam raced it at Laguna Seca so many times. Yeah. The Duke of Richmond flew it to the UK for a Goodwood Hill Climb. Adam brought it to the Hill Climb. Like, it's been to some of the coolest events, and it actually kind of got us access to events we never even thought we'd be able to get on the track, you know, something like Goodwood at the time, you know. It's cool.
It was awesome. I remember doing that when you asked me, because I was there filming with BBC, and we said, and I said, oh, okay. And then I asked RM, can I bring the camera crew in? They were like, yeah. And to this day, never seen that footage. I would love to have access to that footage. I know our faces were like, because do you remember every time there was a bid, every head in the audience would turn to us and like who are those guys?
Yeah.
You know, and it was who just so awesome. So awesome. But one of those, you know, once in a lifetime deals. And
Aaron, you were gonna say something.
Oh, I was just gonna. It's probably gonna be too long of an answer, but I want to know what the status of that car was now and in the future.
Well, I mean, of course, Adam has the car, right?
Yeah.
And it's been raced many times.
But not retired yet, right?
He's not retired yet. Although most recently, because we rebuilt and replaced the turbos because they don't run an air filter on the racetrack. And when Sean took them apart, the impellers were just all just missing. It looked like a bear bit into them. It looked like rats were eating them because the car was a little down on power. We know we needed to rebuild it, but we wanted to see if we can get another race out of it. So we just did the turbos and it helped. And the status is coming up, I believe the end of September, beginning of October is Rennsport, which is the Porsche event Laguna Seca that they only do a few every couple of years. I don't believe we're driving it, but they, the Rennsport and Porsche, they asked for the car to be on a certain display that they've set up. And we said, yeah, so the car's going to go there. And then when we bring it home, maybe it'll get a little bit of a rebuild. And there's a few things on the car that aren't exactly Le Mans spec that we'd like to actually go to full Le Mans spec.
Wow. Awesome. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Aaron, episode 63 was all about you. And Pete, you know, kind of primed the pump on that one because it was the curse of Red Voodoo. when you dropped your car, you basically left it there after the open house and did a whole show around your car.
Well, you know, it happens in life that we decide to build a car almost from scratch and have no clue in what we're doing. And when you use a bunch of old parts because you want to stay as traditional as possible, you don't realize that those old parts, some of them are just not serviceable anymore, and they should be retired, and they should be repurposed into lamps and tables and Red Voodoo.
I think it was really just about the evolution of that car. That car started out as an idea of yours, and you kind of built and kind of pieced this thing together, and in an incredible looking art piece. But at some point, it evolved into I'd like to drive it because now it. I'm getting requests to get to some shows and people would like to see it.
Yeah.
And Pete did an hour about your safety.
I know. Genuinely worried about you.
He was like, I can't let this car out of my shop. Yeah. Poor Aaron's going to die in this car.
His love for you, because he goes, I love you, brother. I can't have you driving this car. He's lug nuts. So.
I know. It's in a museum and there, it's been there for 4 or 5 years, I think, with Kicker in Stillwater, Oklahoma. But we got to do the rear end before he passed. And I still have all his notes. I still have all his voicemails. I still have all the dialogue to do the front end and a few other things he wanted to address. I don't know. Jimmy didn't want to touch it. I don't blame him. I talked to Pete Jr. And he said he'd be interested. So I don't know. It's in a museum. Like I said, when I get it back, it may go into the Hera Museum now on a permanent display there. But I would really like to do the front end, and I would like to drive it to the Arctic Circle.
put sleds on the front and
probably not advised. I'd say not advised, but I remember Pete doing his road trip in his little roadster, and I was like,
no sunscreen.
You need sunscreen and a hat, my friend. And he came back.
At the opening of the SEMA garage, and we did a show live there. Pete literally got in like hours before, and he showed up. He'd been driving, and man, remember, he was bright red. The poor guy.
And blistered his nose and ears. Oh, that was heartbreaking.
And he still had a smile on. He was like, that was the best event ever.
He goes, I was like, so glad I went. So glad. Yeah,
so glad I went.
like so many of the automotive celebrities we've had on, episode 66 was a talk with Dave Kindig. And, but then 10 episodes later, episode 76 was the hardest episode we've ever done. Still gets me right here. I had to call you guys and let you know that,
Yeah. It's all right.
That Pete's mic had gone silent. It was on January 6th of 2017. We lost him. So we celebrate him every show we do.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Pete, I think Pete changed all our lives, and we will forever be. That's why we haven't added a fourth back to the team, because it just remains a trio.
Well, it's not really that, and we can't afford it because we only bringing up another made up fact. The average pay for a host on this show is 10 cents an episode. But no, it was tough. It was really tough. And
still is.
You know, it still is. So then we're jumping because there's been so much great content that we've produced, but we to get through 400, and we're not even going to get through them. We're probably going to have to do a second episode. But episode 112, we helped bring in a new tradition, which was remembering the 80s and the cars of the 80s, because we went to Radwood.
Yeah, the first Radwood.
The very first one.
I'm sorry I missed that, man. So you guys can see all the good stuff.
Because that one was so much fun. Not only the show, but it was a Man Seeks Adventure shift and steer mashup. And we had Heather Storm and Dave Merrick there with us. And the big mistake that Heather and I made was that we tested all of the sample schnapps.
I remember that. I was there for just a little bit, and Dave was buying beers.
We were so hammered. I mean, oh my God. And Heather was slurring, and it was fun. A lot of fun.
Not recommended. The show is recommended. The rest is not really that recommended.
Where is Heather? Is she still out in the Puerto Rico or something? Where is she?
She does Costa Rica in the winter and Colorado.
Colorado.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Then episode 122, continuing. We always have a lot of racers on over the years, Larry Dixon and all kinds of people. But Jed Coughlin Jr. joined us for the first time. And episode 126, new shows were announced. And we were sitting here doing shift and steer, and we announced new podcasts. What was yours, Matt?
Well, we added Goldberg to the mix. Goldberg and I started doing an episode of CarCast. And we're 4 years into it and still cranking away. And we just did an episode.
Yeah, that no, was great. It was kind of like a CarCast 2, right? At the time?
Yeah, we just added a second weekly episode of CarCast, which is interesting because we have a new one being launched, oddly enough, that CarCast is partnered up with Edmunds.com, and Edmunds and CarCast are going to be releasing a new show that we're going to try for a while. We'll see how it goes.
Sounds cool. And I announced on that episode that I was getting together with Mike Brewer, and I was going to be co-hosting Mike Brewer Behind the Wheel with him. We did for about, I think it was 15 to 20 episodes. And then Mike was so busy with production on his show and being pulled a million different directions, it just didn't work out into the schedule. So, those were there. They're still available on YouTube if you want to go listen to them. And episode 149 will go down in infamy because Matt paid a visit to the Woodward Dream Cruise and participated in the drag races. And Aaron, do you remember what happened there?
In the drag races? Is that the one Matt cried at?
No. No. But that's the one where Dodge cried. Because
we have talked about it.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
What happened there, Aaron?
Did someone hit the wall?
Someone hit the wall. Rawlings.
Richard Rawlings hit the wall. Which
hit the wall.
Richard Rawlings. Richard Rawlings.
Yes. Sometimes you gotta never let stuff go, and that's one of the things that we'll never let go.
Hey, most used phrase on shift and steer.
Welcome to party, pal.
That's what I was thinking.
That's more than I can afford.
That's true. Yeah, that one is true.
Hey, Matt, how about some more cars that we drove, like the Ferraris, the Bentleys, the McLarens?
You know, a great trip for us is when we got the McLaren 720S together with the Acura NSX.
Yes,
good. And we went to the Ritz-Carlton Laguna Beach, and
yes,
they were kind enough to loan us their entrance area and valet area, and we did some really cool photo shoots and stuff down there, and had a fun day with those cars and getting them together.
It was
kind of cool. So
it was cool just seeing them there together, and they were vibrant. One was gold, one was orange, and then we drove down to PCH.
Yeah, what a great backdrop. I mean, it was such a perfect day, perfect lighting, perfect everything for that. And got a lot of eyeballs down there as well. And I want to say, when we rolled up to the valet the first time, I'm not sure if you were there yet, when Tammy and I rolled up and got out of the car, I swear Michael Jordan was getting into his car. I can't remember what he had. Maybe it was a Bentley, but I don't know if he was just there for a visit or to meet somebody or whatever, but he was getting into,
it's funny. I saw him years later and he said, I swear to God, that was Matt DeAndrea.
Yeah. I heard that too. I think he tweeted it. Yeah. He was asking. Yeah.
Well, if I remember, I was supposed to be there, but I was 44 hours late because I couldn't get the Pinsgauer to go over 40 miles per hour on the highway.
There you go.
and you'd have to paint it a bright orange to fit in first, but
that's right. I was camouflaged. I was back by behind valet in the bushes.
But the first McLaren, the MP4 12C, I did the infield at Auto Club Speedway in that car.
Nice.
One of the first, the first invited track day that I was going to, like, working with the manufacturers, like, hey, we're doing
the first one you ever did. Cool.
They're like, hey, you get the press cars, but sometimes it's a planned event, right? And I've done a bunch of those since. But the very first planned, like, track day event, like media drive, was in a McLaren.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we've had, Ferrari let me use a Lusso, a GTC4 Lusso.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is always nice. I loved that car. And I'll never forget, this goes back to the listeners again. I ran down to an Osh, a hardware store here in California, to get some pool chemicals for my pool. And I'm out there with the hatch up and I'm loading the pool chemicals in the back. And this guy drives up, rolls down his window, and he's with his wife. And he goes, "Are you Brad Fanshawe?" And I go, "I am." And he goes, "I knew it. We were driving by and I saw somebody putting pool chemicals in the back of a Ferrari." And I said, "That looks like the guy from Shift and Stare." And he goes, I said to my wife, "I got to stop and see." And he goes, "Only you guys would be doing that." And I said, "Oh no, trust me. Any guy who's a press guy, we use these cars, because they're our transportation."
I one of early press cars was the Porsche Panamera Turbo S, which we also took to Willow Springs and drifted with John Hotchkiss.
Great
and
car.
I told Adam, I was like, "Adam, you drive this car for a few days." So we went back into the studio and he was like, "So I was at the Home Depot loading lumber into the back of the Panamera S and I had to drive home with the hatch open." He goes, "But that thing fits in an incredible amount of wood." And I was like, "Of course you did."
And when you start talking about all these adventures in these press cars and stuff, I think I can bring this up, Matt. I think you've brought it up on the show, but we went over to my buddy Barry Weiss's. We went somewhere with him, some event, or we went to dinner with him or something, and you had the twin turbo Porsche 911.
Yes.
And we left there and he
his
lived
house.
In a gated part of LA. You pulled out and you called me later on and you said, "I got pulled over pulling out of Barry's." Go ahead and tell the story.
I actually Barry's neighborhood was like Los Feliz, kind of,
yes,
Hollywood area, and I pull out of his like gated neighborhood, and then I forgot the road. It wasn't Sunset, but I
Los Feliz Boulevard, I think.
Yeah, I just got on it and just started taking off. And there was a big line of traffic coming up in front of me. So I kind of went to the far right outside of traffic, like the bike lane. And I was like blown by everybody.
Oh, and man.
Cop lights me up, pulls me over. I'm in this beautiful, bright blue Porsche 911 Turbo S. Just an incredible car. Cop pulls me over. He's like, "What are you doing?" I was like in the bike lane, and I go, sorry. I go, "That's totally on me." He goes, "Porsche just lent me this car, and it's a 911 Turbo S, and I've never driven one before. Look at this thing. It is so awesome." And he started laughing, and he's like, "Where are you going?" And I go, "I got to go back to the west side." And he goes, "How are you going to get there?" I'm going to get right on the freeway here, and I'm going to take this freeway to the 10. I'm going to go home. And he's like, "Well, then you do that. You're CHP's problem now." And he just let me go. He let me go, and he laughed as he went back to his car.
I'm sure as he walked up, it was his goddamn rich, you know, trust fund rich kid from Beverly Hills or something. And then Matt was so honest with him that he went, "Okay, I'm just going to let you go then."
Listen, I really think 99% of the problems that people have when they get pulled over is because they're being a dick to the cop.
They have attitude. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just like, "This is totally on me. I'm in a $210,000 Porsche having a great time. I fucked up." And he was like, "Yeah, you did. You may go."
"You're not my problem." That's great. Well,
since we're talking about expensive cars that we've driven that we don't own, but we drive, I will tell you about the most ridiculous thing that I can ever think of that happened on the show. And it didn't actually happen on the show, but related to the show. And it was about me. And it was about when I drove a car for a year without a sunroof. Because my sunroof in my truck shattered. And they couldn't get me the parts because of pandemic for like a year. Do you remember? You guys kept asking me, "Did you get your sunroof fixed yet?" And I go, "No, still got a piece of wood up there." And
thing popped out and flew out, right? Like,
I was driving to work. I'm on the 55 freeway, and all of a sudden there's this thud, and I didn't even know what happened. It was like, I thought something hit me. And also I look up, my sunroof is gone. I look immediately in the rearview mirror and I see it go to the other side of the freeway into the carpool lane and just shatter in a million pieces. And I went, "Oh man, how did that happen?" I thought it was something. I'm thinking, how did that happen? What was it? And when I actually called about it, the body shop that I called that did repairs, they said, "What year is your truck?" I told them, they go, "There's a recall on those. The seals had started going away." And he said, "They're used in Bentleys. They're used in GM, you know, trucks." And he goes, the seals, he goes, "They'll replace it for free." And I'm like, "Oh, great." He goes, "Yeah, but there's a back order because they're replacing so many of them." And I was like, a year of that. I was never so embarrassed. And it was such a hokey thing because there was nothing I could do. I'll be honest. Here's what I did. I went down to the auto parts store, got one of those oil drip pans.
Yeah.
Put it on top because that was the only thing big enough.
Yeah.
And I drilled through it and put two pieces of strap aluminum to the inside with wing nuts. And that is what I drove around with for like
you just sandwiched it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And can you imagine the
process?
You imagine anyone driving behind you going, what the hell is flying through the air? Is that a sheet of glass?
I was just so happy when I looked in the mirror that it hadn't hit anyone or any cars. I mean, that thing could have done real damage if it hit somebody's windshield or, I mean, because it was a big piece of glass. It
decapitated a motorcyclist.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But
well, we wouldn't be talking to you. You'd be in prison.
We are to episode 149. And we've got so many stories to tell and so many things. Should we split this right here and say next episode we'll finish
up? Sure.
Yeah.
I think we split one of these before, too. And a four-parter.
Yeah. But I think that's the way to go. We didn't plan on that, but I think it would be a great way to go. And that'll give you guys time to think of any great stories and we'll pick this up next week. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me. I'll see where I'm at next week. We're heading down. We're at Denali National Park right now. So we're going to head down. And I think in the next couple of weeks, we should be home by the next 2 or 3 weeks. So as I travel south, I should be able to jump in a little more frequently.
That would be fantastic.
I'm glad you were able to find a little bit of cell phone connection and make this happen.
Yeah.
I'm literally sitting in the park center. We just registered our vehicles. They made a mistake. And one of us might be camping in town tonight. So we're going to drop off shortly.
Well, good thing you bring your campers with you.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. It was so great you got to make it, Aaron. I know you're worried about reception, but man, you had to be here for 400. So
absolutely. We made it happen. We made it happen. So.
Guys, I can't say anything more than I appreciate having you guys as co-hosts. It's been so much fun and we've become friends. And unlike so many bands where they go, hey, man, do you hang out with the guys in your free time? We actually do.
I don't know.
We have a chance, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, we talk to each other all the time for whatever reason we want to talk to each other.
Text chains going in the middle of the night and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys too. So,
all right. Guys. Yeah. Hey, thanks. We'll be back. Matt, tell them where they can find all this and tell them about the website where they can find every one of these episodes.
It's pretty much been the same for almost a decade. ShiftAndSteer.com. You can check it out. And you know where we are on social media. Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
Hey, everybody. I want to just tell you, follow Aaron Hagar because he's having these great adventures with his Jeep pals and up in the Arctic. And he went to Santa's Village. I mean, I've never even thought about going to Santa's Village. But, you know, man, he's been there. Were the elves all small?
Actually, the elves were on summer break, so I think they're in Baruba, Aruba or something. I don't know. Started with an A or a B. I don't know. Yeah.
That's my seasonal side hustle. I'm literally an elf.
They're on the SS Santa. So, follow me at Bradley_Fanshaw, and we'll be back next week with more stories of our first 400 episodes. That's it. And we will be back because that's a promise, not a threat.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.